Welcome to Add Bible, an audio daily devotion from the Ezra Project. Alan J. Huth shares a Bible passage with comments from over 35 years of his personal Bible reading journals and applies the Word of God to our daily lives.
Today we are in Malachi chapter 2. God rebukes the priests. Let's listen to Faith Comes by Hearing's reading of Malachi chapter 2.
Malachi 2.
And now, O priests, this command is for you. If you will not listen, if you will not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send the curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Indeed, I have already cursed them because you do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will rebuke your offspring and spread dung on your faces, the dung of your offerings, and you shall be taken away with it. So shall you know that I have sent this command to you, that my covenant with Levi may stand, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant with him was one of life and peace, and I gave them to him. It was a covenant of fear, and he feared me. He stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and no wrong was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should guard knowledge, and people should seek instruction from his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you have turned aside from the way. You have caused many to stumble by your instruction. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. And so I make you despised and abased before all the people, inasmuch as you do not keep my ways, but show partiality in your instruction. Have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us? Why then are we faithless to one another, profaning the covenant of our fathers? Judah has been faithless, and abomination has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah has profaned the sanctuary of the Lord, which he loves, and has married the daughter of a foreign god. May the Lord cut off from the tents of Jacob any descendant of the man who does this, who brings an offering to the Lord of hosts. And this second thing you do, you cover the Lord's altar with tears, with weeping and groaning, because he no longer regards the offering or accepts it with favor from your hand. But you say,
why does he not?
Because the Lord was witness between you and the wife of your youth, to whom you have been faithless, though she is your companion and your wife by covenant. Did he not make them one with a portion of the Spirit in their union? And what was the one God seeking? Godly offspring. So guard yourselves in your spirit, and let none of you be faithless to the wife of your youth. For the man who does not love his wife, but divorces her, says the Lord, the God of Israel, covers his garment with violence, says the Lord of hosts. So guard yourselves in your spirit, and do not be faithless. You have wearied the Lord with your words, but you say,
how have we wearied him?
By saying,
everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them.
Or by asking,
where is the God of justice?
In my personal Bible reading journal when I was 36 years old in 1991, after reading Malachi chapter 2, I wrote, priests, or pastors, are messengers from God. They should preserve knowledge. And I referred to verse 10. Do we not all have one Father? Has not God created us? And then I referred to verses 13 through 16. Our prayers are not answered because we don't treat our wives right. God hates divorce, so treat your wife right. At 46 years old in 2001, after reading Malachi chapter 2, I referred to verses 1 through 9. We need true, committed priests. Then I referred to verse 7. We want to rely on their message. And then to verse 14. Treat your wife right. 2:16, God hates divorce. At 56 years old in 2011, I read all of Malachi on the last day of the year, Saturday, December 31st. Concerning the first couple of chapters, I wrote, God is watching. He sees how we focus on our lives, not him, and he is displeased. How we patronize him with our insincere worship. We go to church for 1 hour, and then we get home to our lives. Those were my journal entries concerning Malachi chapter 2, so let's take a look at this chapter. In the first 9 verses, God does not have very kind words for the priests of that day. They were not honoring his name. They were not offering correct sacrifices. They were not following the covenants for the Levitical priests. And God holds them accountable. Let's look at verse 7. For the lips of a priest should guard knowledge, and people should seek instruction from his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you have turned aside from the way. You have caused many to stumble by your instruction. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. Priests, pastors, are held to a very high standard from the Lord because they are messengers of the Lord of hosts. I don't know what kind of church you go to. I don't know what kind of pastor you're under. But these words give me great caution. There are many in pulpits today that are not following the covenant of Levi, or in other words, they're not preaching the word of God today. They are causing many to stumble by their instruction. So from Malachi chapter 2, I hope we all understand we need to be under biblical teaching from our pastors, from our priests. He holds them to a higher standard, and he holds them accountable. But we are also accountable to who we listen to who we receive our instructions from. The application from Malachi chapter 2 may be go to a Bible-preaching, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. In the first 9 verses, God lights up the priests. In the next few verses, he takes his aim at us. Verse 11, Judah has been faithless, an abomination has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem, for Judah has profaned the sanctuary of the Lord. Down to verse 13, and this second thing you do, you cover the Lord's altar with tears, with weeping and groaning, because he no longer regards the offering or accepts it with favor from your hand. But you say, why does he not? Because the Lord was witness between you and the wife of your youth, to whom you have been faithless, though she is your companion and your wife by covenant. Did he not make them one with a portion of the Spirit in their union? In this section of Malachi chapter 2, God says to the people of Judah and to us, you are faithless. You didn't stay faithful to me. You profaned the sanctuary of the Lord with idol worship. Though those words were said to Judah, they could certainly be said to many churches today. I don't intend to name names of denominations or churches or to discuss current practices going on in various churches, but by the standards in Malachi chapter 2, God is certainly not pleased with many of them. But then he gets more individual, doesn't he? He talks about our marriages. Very interesting, in verse 15, he says, did he not make them one with a portion of the Spirit in their union? Do we realize that that is what happens when we marry? God makes us one. He imparts a portion of his Spirit in the union of marriage. And yet, they were getting divorces. Many of us are guilty of the same. We may be legally divorced, or we may be spiritually divorced from our spouses. God requires us to be faithful in marriage. Verse 16, so guard yourselves in your spirit and do not be faithless. Yes, from the book introduction, we said Malachi would be a wake-up call, not only to the people Malachi was writing to, but to us. Maybe your heart is stirring because of the directness of God to the prophet Malachi. The takeaways I get from Malachi chapter 2 are, go to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-preaching church. Secondly, be faithful to the sanctuary of God. Worship him alone, no idols in our lives. And thirdly, honor our marriages, that special place where God makes two people one and pours in a portion of his Spirit in that union. Father, we thank you for the directness of Malachi. You are speaking not only to generations gone by, but to us today. Malachi challenges God's people to live according to God's ways. We pray for our pastors, our priests, our shepherds, that you would find them faithful, that you would stir them to teach the word of God to their congregations. We pray for our responsibility to hold them accountable to do so. And we pray for marriage. The institution of marriage is under great attack in the culture of our day. May we recommit to the institution of marriage, individually and corporately. Holy Spirit, these words are challenging to us. Help us guard ourselves in your spirit and find us faithful. We ask for your help. In the name of Jesus, amen.